T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. A couple of quick things as we get back to the calls. You probably noticed in the clubhouse after the win what looked like large red champagne bottles that the Red Sox had.
Yes.
Budweiser put their beer in champagne bottles.
Oh, boy.
So the,
well, hey, good marketing, I
well,
guess.
Yeah, no, actually, and, yeah. And I've Darren Revelle tweeted out a photo of the bottle. I mean, it is intelligent marketing.
I mean, they don't drink most of it anyway, at least the stuff they splash on each other. So
yeah,
this doesn't really matter.
It really is all over the place.
It's everywhere. The goggles. Who was the first guy?
David Ortiz, I thought, was
the
first goggles guy.
Back in 04?
I think it was after.
It was 07 even?
I think because the first one is when they got, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't see.
Because you always see the ones when they would show, like, the Lakers celebrating and Magic Johnson. I feel like, remember the champagne, like, all in his eyes? My eyes are burning! You're like, those guys for years, they would show the basketball ones. And then now, especially in baseball, it's become every single guy is the ski goggles. It's a good time, though.
Yeah. You know what?
They have fun. You know, they cut loose. It's a long season, Dale.
I don't know if you've noticed, but it takes a long time.
It's a bit of a slog at times.
Especially back in, like, July and...
So we watched, what was it, 15 and a half hours of baseball this weekend? Is that what it comes down to?
I think that's it.
Oh. Wow. There's a lot there.
Doing your own sound effects again, aren't you?
I got my own soundboard over here now. That's the, you watch 15 and a half hours of baseball sound. But hey, wouldn't change a thing, Dale.
As Keith pointed out during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you.
Just a couple of moments ago.
Yes.
Hugh Jackson got fired today. Tyronn Lue got fired a week ago.
Yes.
Has anybody checked on Terry Francona today?
He should be fine.
Is everything all right?
Like, don't you think he's going to be okay?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, you never know. Ty Lue.
So they fired a Lue and a Hugh.
Yes, I understand.
So Tito's probably safe because that name is different.
Yeah, he's all set. He's good to go.
Just more proof that LeBron James has destroyed Cleveland.
Of course he did. A second time over. Of course he did.
That whole town
talked about enough. He ruined them. First of all, he made them hire Ty Lue, who's an awful coach. So they had to start the year with a guy that they don't even want. Then they realized they just woke up and they're like, "Oh, he's still here."
Keith, I don't know what you're talking about.
You left with LeBron.
Did you watch Eastern Conference Finals? They were comparing how Tyronn Lue and Brad Stevens are similar coaches.
Very similar.
That was such a Michael Holly argument. Remember, he'd be like, "Well, Ty Lue won a title." I'm like, "He did?" You're like, "What? How do you? How? What do you do? You stood there." If LeBron let him stand there, then he'd sit.
Wherever LeBron told him to sit.
Yeah, so they got rid of him. They're 0-6. Hugh Jackson, meanwhile, won two games this year and tied a game.
He's 3-36-1 in his career. Calm down, Cupcake.
I know, but two of the wins. Don't call me Cupcake. I'm not Bradford. Two of the wins and the tie happened this year. That's a big improvement. And then I thought, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll name Todd Haley the head coach. Nope, he's gone too.
They fired him.
So does that mean Bounty Gate, Greg Williams, is the coach
now? No,
there?
I'm hoping it's that offensive line coach with a gut the size of Nebraska. That guy?
I don't think that guy could
do
it.
Oh, it'd be so good
Something
if he was.
Something tells me it's not going to be him.
By the way, speaking of Bradford,
yes,
he had the scoop on WEEI.com. Apparently, John Henry said they will likely accept an invitation to go to the White House.
Oh.
Surprises me a little bit.
Yeah,
just because of the political leanings of the ownership group here.
There'll be like six players there.
Yeah, I don't know. But he didn't commit to going.
Interesting.
He said, you know, we would probably accept if
Have they
if
been
they
invited? Were... Trump no. might not want to invite any teams anymore. That's been a great run.
Well, it
for
won't
him.
Be till like March.
Yeah, it'll be a
they
while.
Always do it during spring training.
Right.
When the Red Sox have done this in the past, they've tied it in with a visit to Walter Reed, you know, and then they go do the White House
thing.
Theo
didn't go. Right?
No,
that was
not.
The big story.
Yeah. Tom Brady didn't go when the Patriots were there last time.
The Golden State Warriors did not go this
So
time.
According to Bradfoe, John Henry says they would probably... Now, I don't know if he's talked to Alex and talked to his team or if he was just answering off the cuff. Yeah.
I also feel like Bradfoe should be your source of Joe Kelly news this offseason.
Well, do you think?
If Joe Kelly signs somewhere, whether it's here or elsewhere, I feel like you'll get it on WEEI.com.
And you'll get it in GIF form.
Yeah, I know.
He'll just post a bunch of GIFs of Joe Kelly.
He was doing the GIF again last night. Were you
upset
with that?
No,
you're okay. That you're fired up.
I wasn't even that fired up the night before. Oh, I
thought it was a good rivalry brewing. That's what I heard. You guys hate each other.
Callahan going, yeah! Dylan's on the cell phone. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk. Speaking of Joe Kelly, I thought he was the best pitcher throughout the entire postseason. Obviously, 10 strikeouts in the World Series was fantastic. And I also wanted to get you guys' thoughts on Game 3. Just the game in general, you know, people rash on low-scoring baseball, but that was probably the most tense game I'd ever watched in any sport. And my eyes were glued to the screen. I loved the game.
It was unbelievable. I mean, if you really think about it, just the way that game went and just both teams emptying their benches and just going on and on and on. And Nathan Eovaldi's performance alone, because if he can't do that, you got to bring in Pomeranz and the game's over.
It was an amazing thing to watch.
It was
97
crazy.
Pitches, yeah. 7 innings, when no starter was going 7 innings till last night.
No.
So 97 pitches, and he had pitched the 2 games before that.
Yeah, it was wild.
And by the way, he offered to start Game 4.
He's a psychopath, and I love it. I want that guy back.
No,
so bad.
Alex Cora actually said he's nuts.
He goes, your agent will be pissed at me. If I pitch you again, the agent's going to be like, hey, Eovaldi, you've already made enough money. Don't throw your arm out. But yeah, no, that game was crazy. I mean, 3:30, like we've all stayed up late to watch sporting events before, but to stay up until 3:30 was outrageous.
Justin's in Shreveport. How y'all doing?
How y'all doing out there? Man, I'm just so excited about just the freaking Red Sox, man. What a year, what a series. But I had to call because I made some predictions. One earlier in the series was Brock Holt. I called in and said he hit for the cycle. Then last time I called and you guys said, hey, so who you got? Who you like? And I said, I think Price is going to win the MVP. And I know y'all gave me hell about it. But, you know, I know he didn't win it.
You were close, though. You were real close.
I'd have had no problems if he did win.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had to just call in and say that. And it's just a magical team. I just had that it factor, and I think it came from Alex Cora. And, man, I hope it continues. And I think next year will be very telling to see if it's just one of those years or if Cora can continue, what he did this past year. But anyways, guys, I've enjoyed it. I'll call back in next year. Y'all are awesome. I'll keep listening to the show.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
Y'all take care now. You hear?
Yeah, I mean, it was not a lot of people were going to put money down or even predict David Price World Series MVP. Now, again, he didn't win it, but he was right there and easily could have.
Oh, I would have had no issues. It's like I said, it's one of the rare instances where I'd have been fine with co-MVPs. I understand they probably can't do that and all that stuff. And you were talking about Alex Cora, and he mentioned Brock Holt. Think about this. Brock Holt becomes the first player in Major League Baseball history to hit for the cycle in a playoff game and then doesn't play the next game.
Right.
Now, think about the dynamic that could have happened. What do you mean I'm not playing? I just didn't.
Right.
And no, whatever he says.
And then even as it was going on, even if he would get a couple hits, well, then they'd go with Kinsler. It didn't really matter. But then the last couple of games, maybe after the Kinsler error, I don't know, but they turned to Brock Holt, and he had one of the biggest hits in the entire series.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good afternoon. Listen, it's just a great day. I was thinking about how awful I felt waking up Saturday morning after the marathon game. And then here we are, just 2 days later, they won it all. But I want to talk about David Price. I was actually pulling for him to get the MVP of the series. I thought what he did was really, really special. But, you had a call, just called a couple of minutes ago, and he was spot on. Why can't David just be humble right now? And I know, Dio, you say that, David's really not good at communicating. He's good at whining. He's coming across as whining when he talks, especially when you're asking him about his elbow and stuff. And he goes, oh, you guys didn't believe me. What would be wrong with David? What does this mean to you? Well, you know what? This means a great deal to me. I see the Red Sox fans. If you come and you play hard and you give it your best, these people are going to get behind you. This is the best place anywhere in the country to play baseball. What would be wrong with saying something like that? I just don't know why.
Well, maybe it would be disingenuous.
Well, you know what, Dale? We all sometimes say things that we don't necessarily mean.
No, honey, that dress doesn't make you look fat.
Jeez.
You could try that on.
You get it.
Yeah, look, I understand because one of the things we talked about with Price second half of the season was he was actually saying all the right things, too. I think he was really seriously hurt by some of the things that were said about him and written about him. Not that they were wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think it bothered him. It's obvious that it bothered him.
Oh, it did, clearly. When he's talking about the thing about the unique elbow, and he's like, I was ridiculed and made fun of.
And he was.
I was like, all right, but that is kind of an odd thing, right? And so, and I don't know, so what's his point now? Like, he's the only guy that's ever pitched on 3 days rest, or he's the only guy that's ever pitched out of the bullpen and started? Like, I don't even really know what he was doing there. Like, he pitched really well. There was something that he couldn't do, and that was win in the postseason, and he overcame that tenfold. You know, he won two World Series games, so he was great. But I think to Eddie's point is some of his attacks on the media, like he's probably speaking to a certain amount of people, right? Like in the media, it was what it feels like. But it's also what the fans hear. And I think some fans think, all right, is this at us too? Like, sorry that I questioned your six ERA at one point, and now you're giving them the business. So I think some fans hear that and say, you know, I want to root for you, but you're making it kind of tough.
By the way, they have given co-MVPs before in the World Series.
Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, right?
2001. So they could have.
Oh, they definitely could have. So
maybe,
that's why I'm
wondering. Maybe the voting was,
I bet it was
cut
off by like one. I bet it was super close.
You'd like to think. Yeah. And I do think Price, he was not unhappy for his teammate. I don't mean that at all.
He was bummed that he didn't win.
I think he was bummed that he didn't win.
Now,
because that would have just completed it, right?
I am kind of surprised that the writers, or who votes in this? Is it broadcasters and writers? And
I believe so.
It's
yes.
Like a whole mix. Yeah. You know, Matt Damon, Mary Hart, they all got a vote.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they would have gotten sucked
still
into
waiting for Larry King's ballot to come.
Yeah, like, Larry, we got to go on without Larry. Larry might have voted for David Price, and then it would have been a tie.
Probably
and then
voted for Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, he probably did. Last game he really remembers. But I think that I thought that the people voting might have been caught up in the David Price story, going from postseason bust to postseason MVP. I thought maybe you would get that, but obviously that I think that second home run in the game by Steve Pierce is clearly what sealed it.
See, I would think you, of all people I know,
yeah,
would respect the fact that David Price is still carrying that grudge.
He is carrying a grudge.
And you like that.
I mean, generally speaking,
that's a sign of strength for you.
It is, but you also have to be prepared for the backlash. And if the backlash's fans are still upset with you, then so be it. You got to dig in. And then the big question becomes, all right, you have all these cards and everything now, which is nice. Are you good staying here, or do you want to go somewhere else? And that's going to be a story all off season until he makes his decision.
By the way, you were talking about the Cleveland Browns thing. So they fire Hugh Jackson.
Right.
They fire Todd Haley. According to John Clayton, Greg Williams is not getting the interim job.
So who do they got there?
The big-bellied offensive line coach.
Actually, you know who would be their best coach based off of Hard Knocks would be Tyrod Taylor.
He was good. He knew what was going on.
Tyrod,
just take the jersey off. We got another gig for you here.
I think they should give it to him.
Our crack staff, it's Bob Wiley is the big chubby guy.
I like the big barrel chested.
You want that guy
offensive
to be the head coach?
Ha! Ha! And the belly's moving when you do that.
He's not a very fit man.
No.
No, he's not very fit.
He might have some cardio issues, but you know.
He likes to have a good sit.
I'm sure he does with the best of them, that guy. Hard to get him up off of a sit.
Hey, you got to get up now.
Yeah. Come on, let's go. You got a team to coach.
617-779-7937.
Stretch is way overrated. Did you know World War I and World War II, all those guys that fought in that war, right? They did push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, climbed the rope and ran. But none of this fancy okay? Right? And they won two world wars. Two world wars by doing jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. Two world wars. You think they were worried when they're running across Normandy about stretching? Are you kidding me?
Huh? Pull the hammy.
Well, let me see. Give me my rubber band so I can stretch to run across that beat. You got to be kidding me.
I want that guy.
He's a little old school.
That's who I want as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Bring that guy in.
Pretty good.
Red Sox are your 2018 World Series champions.
Swing and a miss, great play, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1.
We act and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Good news, Alex Cora's awake.
Good for him.
I was a little worried. He tweeted out a few minutes ago. He actually tweeted out a tweet that had been put out by a senior baseball writer for Roto World and NBC Sports, a guy named DJ Short, not DJ Bean.
No.
DJ Short confused. Tweeted out, the Red Sox bullpen during the playoffs, 2.71 ERA, 63 strikeouts in 63 innings. Opposing teams batted 187 with a 599 OPS against them. So Alex Cora tweeted that out and added the man shrugging emoji.
Well, we all knew the bullpen was great. We love the bullpen.
We all were talking about that's the strength of this team.
I mean, for the entire postseason, Joe Kelly had a 0.79 ERA. Ryan Brazier had a 1.04. Matt Barnes had a 1.04. Even in 4 2/3, Heath Hembree had a 0 ERA. And then, so you take those guys. So forget Hembree for a moment. So take Kelly, Brazier, Barnes. And then when you would bring in Eovaldi or Porcello or Sale to pitch out of the pen, they were almost unhittable. I mean, it was Craig Kimbrell who was the guy making games close. He had an ERA around 6.
Yeah. And as far as the case to be made for David Price being the World Series MVP, which I would have had no issues with, he pitched in 3 games in the World Series, started 2 of them. He was 2-0, 1.98 ERA.
Yeah, it's awesome.
13 2/3 innings, struck out 10. You'd have had no problem with me if you had said David Price was the MVP of the World Series.
No, I mean he definitely deserved it. I think it was that second home run, you know, the third of the series for Steve Pierce, five games,
the garbage home time
runs.
Home run,
the add on the empty netter there.
Yeah
no, he it was a great series at the plate for Pierce, and he had a feeling that. With all the lefties that the Dodgers could throw, not that I was going to predict Pierce to be the MVP, but you knew he was going to be in the lineup a lot with Kershaw, Ryu, and Hill, and he obviously made the most of it.
All right, 617-779-7937. Todd's in Newport. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
Hi. One thing, I love your show.
Thank you.
I love that you guys are wrestling enthusiasts, too. So before I get to my baseball point, what about on Fridays and do like 5 minutes of a recap on the week? Professional wrestling.
Anyway. Ooh, it sounds like it'd be a great podcast for our guy Jason Rossi to do. He's been really kind of angling to do
What do you think?
Rossi on wrestling. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Falls Count Anywhere Friday. We open it up.
So whatever, you know.
I like it. I like Todd. I think it's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. So back to that 18th inning game. Now, you know, I'm not a Red Sox fan. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm a big baseball fan. It really ruined my day the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it did for you guys.
Uh-huh.
In NHL, they do a shootout. And I'm sure we've talked about this prior in past years. What about like a home run derby, you know, after the 11th inning?
So first of all, I hate that idea. Second of all, Todd, but they don't do shootouts in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs. The shootouts are all over with. You play overtime till you get a winner.
You get overtime forever.
Even if I begrudgingly granted you your proposal in the regular season, I would never allow a playoff game or a World Series game to be decided.
No, playoff games have to go that way.
But basically a skills competition.
Well, anyway, I mean, 18 innings is also so crazy if you think about it because – it's not like you have the September call-up rosters. You only have 25 guys. Both teams burn through 23. And if it wasn't for Eovaldi's performance, the game is probably over a lot
sooner.
Yeah,
you probably got some position play. You probably got Christian Vasquez throwing or something.
Right, or Pomerantz, and the game's over. Right?
All right.
Well, it would have been.
Okay.
So you have to bring in somebody like that. So I was enjoying the strategy of it. And then, you know, you got pitchers hitting, which I know Dale hates, but you got those guys coming up. Clayton Kershaw's a pinch hitter because he hits, you know, 240 during the season. So he's better than whatever else they could bring up there. And then just, you know, inning after inning. I thought it was entertaining, but it was maddening at the time.
So when JD Martinez was boxing that ball around in right field and playing it into a triple, you were thinking, yeah, I'd hate to have my 3 best outfielders in the game at the same time.
I was thinking, you're a baseball player, you should be able to catch a fly ball, what I was thinking.
And his
actually.
Answer would be, I have to find it first.
Yeah, like, where is it? I don't know. Mookie, see it? Yeah, it's over your head. Back up a step. No, those guys, I mean, I know we differ on this, but I think if you're a pitcher, you should also be able to hit, and if you're a hitter, you should also be able to play in the field somewhere. And so JD Martinez, you got to make a play. That's part of the National League Park.
Yeah, I hate everything about it. By the way, the National League is the only professional league in the world that uses pitchers hitting and not a DH. Japan, in the Caribbean countries, every professional league on the planet except the National League uses a DH.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb that that's the one league on the planet that has a...
It's dumb that we treat these pitchers like they're like these special objects.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with treating them. They
it is. It is, too.
They suck
Why
at it.
Why can't they do it?
I don't know. They can.
But they can in
Why
high school.
Why can't you and I hit
They can
major
in college.
League.
Well, I can't pitch in the majors either. So forget that. These guys, they're great athletes growing up, and then all of a sudden they're like, you're a pitcher, so that's all you have to focus on. Don't ever pick up a bat again unless you're going to bunt. Don't even think about it, even though you were probably the best hitter on your high school team and maybe even your college team. Like, there should be more Shohei Ohtanis. There just isn't, because they're told once you're a pitcher, you're all set, because either you're going to be in the American League and you never have to hit, or you're in the National League and we expect nothing out of you. Now, there's no going back on it. I just think that it's silly.
Pete's in Ohio. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Hey, not my original point, but the minor leagues in baseball, AA, AAA, they use a DH, right?
Everybody uses a DH, except the National League.
You know, I never noticed that. But anyway, that's not why I call. Hey, I would have liked to have seen Sale plunk Machado right on his rear end, first pitch. How would that would have been in a ninth inning of the
Probably not a smart thing to do when you're trying to win a World Series.
But I don't hate the idea.
I mean, I wouldn't have minded him getting hit either.
Not
but if I'm
the
Chris
idea.
Sale, all I'm thinking about is getting my three outs and getting to the champagne bottle filled with Budweiser.
That's why I say it would have made it that would have been neat for history. Or at least throw way behind him like he did. It was him, right? Sale did it to Machado earlier in the season, right?
I don't remember that.
You're talking about the thing in Baltimore? Where
no, that was Barnes.
Yeah, that was Matt Barnes who failed
Oh,
miserably.
But then Sale got him, though? Was that what it was?
I don't even remember anymore. Look, in that situation, as much as I don't like Manny Machado and wouldn't mind seeing him get plunked, not then.
I think it's actually even better to have him strike out for the last out. Like, that's even sweeter. Like, your season ended because you struck out. So,
and how selfish would Chris Sale be, by the way? If you know what? I'm going to hit him right here.
Well, see, I don't think it would be selfish. I think that would actually be a team thing, too. I think, you know, because he stepped on Pierce, so I think...
And then you get some hot-headed ump who immediately says, you, out of here!
Well, then great. They got five guys warming up, ready to go. Evaldi, get the last
They're out. Actually using the Dodgers bullpen because they got some overflow.
Are these empty? Can we just get a toss in? They're like, we don't have enough bullpen catchers out here.
Get a toss. Quick toss right here. We'll be done in just a second.
I'm just going to warm up real fast.
As soon as we go in there and punch you guys out. By the way, the scene as Sale was leaving the bullpen and coming out of the field with all of the other pitchers
in awesome.
The bullpen.
And that just sort of shows you how they all feel about each other.
It was like, I wanted to go out and run through a wall for somebody. Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter.
Hi, guys. You know that I've called a bunch of times.
Oh, gosh, no. We've never heard this act before. Let me guess. The whole thing that Price and Eckersley, we totally overplayed that, right?
Hey, I'm not going to talk about Dennis Eckersley. I'm very happy for David Price, okay? I thought he acted a little bit like a dink when he was talking about those, I have all the cards. But I think it was driven by talk radio. By the he's talking more about the media. He's talking about the callers, the fans that call, the radio. Every time he steps into Fenway Park, I mean, anything he does, he gets a standing ovation. So I think there's a bunch of real fans out there that do not hate David Price, and they like him. And I think it's unfortunate that he has to come out with a dinky statement. I mean, you know, I hold all the cards instead of saying, yeah, I got the monkey off my bat. I'm happy for my teammates. I love playing for these fans. I think that stemmed totally from talk radio. And I'm just happy for him. I am going to say he sounded a little bit like a dink at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think he did too. I think sometimes he can't help himself. You know, maybe it's just he's a bad communicator, like you say, or
well, he is a bad communicator. But I think he was so bitter.
But like, I would respond. So he goes, "I hold all the cards now." Like, okay. So what does that mean? Like, what are you gonna do with them? You're gonna take the cards and what? You're gonna go play somewhere else. You're gonna play here. And every time the media asks you a question, you're gonna remind them of the World Series. Like, I don't really know what his point is. Like, good for you. Like, everybody, nobody's criticizing how he's pitched in the World Series. You're not going to find that. And I don't care. Okay, you're still hung up on it, but to what end? Like, what does this mean for the rest of your career?
So, you know, the whole monkey off his back thing?
Yes.
Nobody saw this because there was a World Series going on, but Saturday, the Bruins game, a terrible, awful hockey game.
They didn't move the start time of that.
No, it was awful. Yeah. So Ryan Donato, scores a goal.
Yeah.
And as he's going to the bench, he does that whole, you know, pulling the monkey off his back gesture.
Yes. Well, he needed to do that.
We're going to review that, by the way. Oh, that play was offside. Do you have to put the monkey back on?
Did he put it back on?
But no. Are you then obligated if you do the whole elaborate monkey off your back gesture?
Shame.
If they then take it away after video review, do you have to put the monkey back on?
By the way, you know who it's a bad thing that the Red Sox are done? Tuukka Rask. It's not good news.
It's not going to matter this week because I'm not sure he's going to play this week.
Well, there's my point. But now that the Red Sox are done, more people are going to be paying attention to, oh, wait a minute, Halak is the best goalie on the Bruins right now.
And I think you'll see him being utilized in that way. At least that's my guess here. Let's go to hit the right button, Dale. Marshall's in New Hampshire. Hey, Marshall.
What's up, Marshall? Marshall? Marshall's not there. Marshall? Marshall?
I'll put him on hold. Let's try Jack in New Hampshire. Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, I've had this idea going on that now that we have David Price, you know, producing and being at top of his game, and E-Rod, 25-year-old lefty, I'd like to offer those two to the Mets for Jake DeGrom, both of them. It will pay $10 million a year for David Price's salary.
Yeah, I don't know if the Mets would do that. I mean,
I would ask why would the Mets do that?
What's that?
Why would the Mets do that?
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Well, they're getting two quality lefties for a guy that's going to make a lot of money.
Okay, DeGrom might be the best pitcher in baseball.
And by the way, one of those two quality lefties makes a whole crap ton of money.
Yeah, well, we'll pay one third of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sure, I would do that deal. But that's not going to happen. Well, the
okay,
other thing
deal's
is,
done. Keith says yes.
I mean, if you're the Mets, you're not really ready to win just this minute. So do you want to get a 33-year-old pitcher as the best part of the deal? And then another guy, Rodriguez, who, hey, nice start the other night. But
real nice.
Let's be honest. And then, he's hurt all the time.
By the way, that is one of the few things you can point to where Alex Cora made a mistake.
Yeah, he should have
left
taken
him
out
too long.
He definitely should have taken
and
him out.
And he didn't make many. I mean, this whole year, and certainly in this playoff run.
It was really weird, though. Right before he pitched to Justin
Turner, it looked
like
he wanted to take him out.
Didn't it?
He started up the steps of the dugout,
I thought
and then
he was
went
out.
Back.
So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if Matt Barnes wasn't ready, or if he talked with Lavangi, and they were like, hey, let's let him get this guy. Or
because you could read his lips. He said to Lavangi, right now.
Yeah, and, like,
and then
no.
He comes up a step, and then
no,
it's like,
it
should
have
no,
been right now. Because then they have a – yeah, I don't know why he didn't go in there.
I was convinced.
And then, so then he's like, all right, you're not in against Turner. But then he stayed in for like two more batters. So I didn't know what was going on. And then Puig, which I love the Puig pimping the home run too. Even as a Red Sox fan, you got to enjoy that. Baseball needs guys like that.
According to advanced analytics, he hit two balls solidly the entire World Series.
Who,
now,
Puig?
That was one of them, yeah.
Yeah, that ball was crushed.
He hit two balls hard.
Hello, I am Elias.
No,
is that what they had?
It was
that?
Someone else. I
Did
can't remember.
Did you see when the ball was pitched inside and he backed up and then he shook his butt? I do not like that guy. That's great.
Lucy said, oh, nice move.
I was like, oh, hello there.
Wait a minute.
Hello, sailor. I mean, I don't think that that's
sailor.
What we were.
The Major League Baseball player, Dale. Come on.
Well, depends. What else?
That was a rocket shot, though. That
it
he hit.
Was still that and that and the Mitch Moreland home run,
which what, the,
almost
Yasiel,
left the stadium.
Puig stole the show on that one too. Moreland smashed it over his head.
Oh, and
Puig put both his hands on his head and then like ducked down. He's like, no.
What else you got? It's coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, a couple of things we didn't get to because, let's be honest, it was all World Series baseball today, needless to say. So,
what else you got?
Keith?
I got a couple of real quick things. One, apparently, Rick Pitino wants back in the NBA. He thinks he'd be a great NBA head coach candidate.
It went so well the first time.
It went so well. He really wants to be with a franchise because he says that player development, young players, is his forte. And he thinks, I don't know if that's a Joe Forte reference, but,
I get it, yeah.
But he wants in with the NBA, which I think is outrageous.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I don't think anybody's going to hire him. And the other thing, Adam Thielen, everybody was
what
watching.
What else you got?
Yeah, Adam Thielen, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, over 100 yards once again. He was playing on Sunday Night Football, so not a lot of people watched it around here. But 8 games this season, 800-yard games for Adam Thielen, which is insane. Dale?
What else you got?
So there was a story last week. There was a series of tweets posted by a guy named Aaron Govea. He lives in Franklin. He put out tweets about his five-year-old Sam, who was getting teased by his classmates at school because he painted his nails red. A lot of people showed support for five-year-old Sam and his dad. Deborah Messing tweeted about it. Martellus Bennett sends words of encouragement out to this little five-year-old. And it turns out that he painted his nails red because he really likes the color, and he's a huge Patriots fan.
There you go.
So he wanted the color for the Patriots. Well, he got some support from somewhere else.
Hey, Sam, what's up? It's Rob Gronkowski here. I heard some kids at school were giving you a hard time for wearing some nail polish. I just want to say stay strong and do what makes you the happiest and keep being yourself.
Which was very cool.
How about that?
The Patriots on their official Twitter feed also tweeted out, "We love the color choice."
Pretty nice. And then Gronk added, "Don't eat Tide Pods."
He did. Promise
me
that.
Promise me you don't eat Tide Pods.
Can't be too careful.
Paint your nails all you want. Don't eat any Tide Pods.
So the parade is Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Talk about Halloween.
No.
We will likely get some more stories tomorrow because they'll be back by then.
Yes.
I don't know when they're landing. Sometime today.
It's going to be an interesting offseason, too, that we can get into with all the free agents they have and everything else. They get some decisions.
We're not doing that.
Halloween's coming up.
Talk about the fact that it's Halloween.
Talk about the fact that it's Halloween.
So I know Lou returned. I saw his tweet. He's landed. I don't know anything about the other two. We'll find out.
Good.
They're due in here in just a few minutes.
Usually standing. Glenn's usually here.
He's
they're
like right outside the door
there. Chomping at the bits.
He'll be dragging that big ass suitcase of his him, you know, that we saw on Twitter.
They might be a little feisty today, too, because they're probably having a lot of sleep, unless they can sleep on a plane. I'm not somebody who can sleep on a plane.
I'm guessing Lou is operating on less sleep than anybody.
I bet Glenn's the guy who falls asleep as soon as he sits down on a plane. That's just, I have that sense about him.
Well, they're coming up. At least one of them's coming up next.
We'll see how many
of them show up. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.